The end of last year was kind to Morgan Stanley. Earnings rose 60% in the last 3 months of 2010, propelled in part by the firm's debt underwriting business. Investors hailed the news as a sign the bank has regained its footing following the financial crisis. Morgan Stanley's results stand in contrast to Goldman Sachs's, which yesterday reported lower fourth quarter revenues. The number of people who bought previously owned homes fell to the lowest level in 13 years. The National Association of Realtors says fewer than 5 million homes changed hands in 2010. NAR spokesman Walter Maloney says this means there are plenty of great deals out there.
Because we still have elevated levels of inventory, we're expecting prices to hold pretty even.
He points out home sales picked up significantly in December. New York City's unemployment rate fell below 9% for the first time in 19 months. It was 8.9% in December, down from 9.1% in November. Among the many New Yorkers currently looking for work is Danny Dominguez of the Bronx, who recently lost his job as a court officer. Before that, he worked as a supervisor in a mailroom. Today, at an employment fair, he reflected on his journey.
I went from a great job to a greater job, and now I'm at a job fair, so it's kind of tough for me.
Dominguez says he hopes this job fair will be his last. Stocks declined today. The Dow was off 2 points, ending at 11,823. The Nasdaq closed at 2,704, a loss of 21 points. And the S&P 500 gave up 2 points to settle at 1,280. For months, we've been hearing about the fiscal problems states and local governments across the country are facing. Civil servants have been getting a lot of the blame because of generous health and retirement packages. Mayor Bloomberg took aim at public employee pensions.
The labor unions understand that in spite of some bluster here and there, we cannot continue to do what we're doing. Things are going to have to change.
And it's not just Mayor Bloomberg. Many mayors and governors from both parties are ringing the fiscal alarm. Today, we bring you a dissenting view. Iris Lav is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Welcome to the 411, Iris.
Thank you.
You're the co-author of a study out today entitled Misunderstandings Regarding State Debt, Pensions, and Retiree Health Costs Create Unnecessary Alarm. Explain some of these misunderstandings you found.
Sure. Well, we looked at these three long-term issues. First, bonds. We find no credible evidence of a bubble or a meltdown comparable to the mortgage bond situation, for example, the beginning of the recession, as some people are loudly proclaiming, nor is there likely to be a significant wave of defaults. You know, state and local bond debt is within historical levels, and debt service is just 5% of expenditures. Second, pension funds do have unfunded liabilities. But many recent media reports have used a figure for those liabilities, $3 trillion, we keep hearing, is much greater than the amounts that states and localities actually have to invest to make their pensions whole. On average, states and localities would have to increase their contributions from an average of 3.8% of budgets to about 5%. Hardly a crisis. It really isn't. Third, while most state and local governments have not pre-funded their retiree health insurance promises, they are far from ironclad promises and could be changed.
Go ahead.
Finally, it's important that these are not obligations that have to be paid this year or next. These are long-term obligations for the next three decades to catch up on them. That's quite different than the cyclical deficits related to the recession, which do have to be closed immediately.
So you're saying that there are long-term fiscal problems that are different from short-term challenges, and you think the economy is going to, as the economy improves, these fiscal problems are going to work themselves out?
Certainly, we need the economy to improve. The economy has reduced the amount in pension funds, and certainly they're affecting the short-term situation. But the cyclical deficits, the operating deficits, general fund deficits, have to be closed here and now. There's about $125 billion for the upcoming fiscal year in deficits. But these long-term problems are long-term problems, and in terms of pensions, some policy changes and additional contributions, but we're not talking about bankruptcy or a major crisis here.
And yet we are talking about, in New York, a budget deficit projected at $10.5 billion, and a lot of that being fueled by pension and benefit obligations that the state cannot renege on. How is that not a fiscal emergency?
I don't think that the pension is what's driving the deficit in New York. First of all, about half the deficit is attributable to the end of the federal fiscal stimulus. It has nothing to do with pensions. And a lot of the other is the normal growth in the cost of government expenditures at a time when revenues really are not growing very much.
Iris Lav is a senior advisor with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Get the 411 as a podcast. Go to our website, wnyc.org. This is WNYC.